ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्री राधेश्याम, इन भक्ति when we begin our bhakti we have to start with what sadhana bhakti there are three types of bhakti sadhana bhakti and bhav bhakti and prem bhakti sadhana bhakti is divided into vaidhi bhakti and raganuga bhakti as per rupa goswami bhakti rasamrut sindhu how many of you have seen opened bhakti rasamrut sindhu हमने फिर रेड भक्ति रसामृत सिंधु ओके भक्ति रसामृत सिंधु इज राधा रानी हरसेल्फ दैट फर्स्ट थिंग यू शुड नो श्रीमद् भागवतम इज श्री कृष्णा हिमसेल्फ कृष्णो स्वधामो उपगते इन कृष्णा लेफ्ट दिस वर्ल्ड उद्धवा एक्सप्रेस्ड हिज एंग्जाइटी एंड कृष्णा इमीजिएटली एंटर्ड इनटू भागवतम बिकेम भागवतम एंड अपियर्ड एज भागवतम इन द कोर्स ऑफ टाइम Similarly, Srimati Radharani is what? Personification of devotion to Krishna. Is it right? She is Murtiman Bhakti, Murtiman Prema Bhakti. Everything that is connected to Prema Bhakti is Radharani. Swarupa Goswami learnt from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the science of Abhideya Bhakti. Abhideya is the second aspect of Bhakti. Sambandha is first aspect of bhakti. You connect with the Lord. And you disconnect from material world. Gradual process, gradual proportionate disconnection and gradual proportionate connection with the Lord. Disconnection from the material world. That is called Sambandha. And then there is Abhideya. After you connect with the Lord, then you engage in service to the Lord. And then when you perfect your service to the Lord, is Prayojana. Prayojana means you perfect your service to the Lord. And develop asakti, love, attraction, attachment to the Lord. So this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is something to do with Abhideya and Prayojana. Sambandha is explained to Sanatana Goswami at Varanasi. For 2 months. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent 2 months with Sanatana Goswami, explaining him Sambandha Gyan. And that is written by Sanatana Goswami into his books Hari Bhakti Vilas and so many scriptures he has written. In that Sambandha Gyan is expressed. And Abhideya Gyan is expressed by Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrut, in Bhakti Rasamrut Sindhu. And later scriptures also are there, like Lalita Madhav, Vidagdha Madhav, and many other high-level scriptures are there. And Prayojan Gyan was discussed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Ramananda Roy at the banks of Godavari, where they discussed that famous discussion took place, where from beginning to the end, ultimate, even Prayojan is divided and into more and more deeper aspects of Prayojan. Are expressed and finally they come to conclusion the devotion that Radharani does for Krishna is the highest of all and that also is not limited it's also unlimitedly growing so I first informed you all these things because where your question fits in I have told you that you said what is the difference between spontaneity and regulations so that comes in the purview of Abhideya, engaging oneself in service to Krishna. So in the beginning stage of conditioning, that we are conditioned in the material world, right? So in that beginning stage, we have to decondition ourselves. And for deconditioning, there are some rules and regulations. Like somebody who was smoking for 50 years, and he has developed some lung disease. So they have to be deconditioning. he should stop smoking. He should smoking cigarette, bidi, or anything else, other forms of smoking. He has to avoid the company of smokers. He should not pass by cigarette smoke wherever people are smoking. I mean, he should just detach himself. And then he should be in hospital. He should take medicines in a regulated manner, 3 times a day. He should avoid this food, take this kind of food, avoid that kind of food, take rest, take nutritious diet. Then he will get, not fully all right, but he will be out of the afflictions of lung. And then he can lead normal life. And in normal life, he can do pranayam, increase his lung capacity, oxygenation, and become more and more healthy, come back to health, restore your health. So, giving up smoking, staying in the hospital, taking medications, remaining under guidance of doctor, following what doctor tells, is all regulations. And once you get out of the disease, then doing pranayam, getting back to health, running, playing sports, is spontaneity. What is spontaneity? Spontaneity means coming to terms with our nature. You have some nature, right? To be happy, to be jolly, to be engaged always, to be busy, to serve is our constitutional nature. Is that true? Who is free from nature of service? Anybody is free from nature of service? Even if you don't want to serve anybody, you are serving your senses and mind all the time, serving the whims of your mind. So this is the constitutional nature. But due to disease, the nature of constitution is covered and you appear to be something else than what you are. You look like what you are not, hiding what you are. So unveil, to reveal your own nature from a diseased or afflicted or covered condition, you need regulations. So one has to go step by step. Have you all got into final year of your engineering right from the 5 years of age? No. You have come to first standard and fourth standard and secondary education, then higher secondary education, then examinations of entrance, then in whatever branch, then first year, then second year, then fourth year, whatever you have got. So you have accepted the process, right? Have you challenged the school and college? What is this? Why don't you put me in third year final immediately? Why waste time? I am ready to study everything third year. But will they put you? Will they accept your craziness and submit to your request and put you in third year? No. They will put you all through the process, and you also will understand, good, I went through the process. I got to know everything systematically, step by step, and I have grasped everything in the essence. Now I can practice nicely as an engineer. And spontaneity is something which is, when you do regulations, gradually you awake your inner consciousness, which is natural for you, which is constitutional for you. That is called spontaneity. Raga Nuga. Raga Nuga means it is out of spontaneous attraction you do some things. Like, for example, today you must be some temple commander, some in charge here must be waking you up. Hey, wake up. It's already 3:45. It's already 4 o'clock. Mangalarti is starting. And you may have to wake him up every day, and he doesn't want to wake up. But one day will come, after this regularly waking up by force and going through the program, maybe mechanically, maybe unwillingly, maybe some taste here and there, but not so much. But doing it regularly, one day will come where you will like to attend Mangalarti, and you will not like to miss Mangalarti, and you will jump from the bed at 3:45 before the person comes to wake you up. That means after doing continuous regulative practice, you develop spontaneity. And that is called Raganuga. And that is what we are all aiming at. Like the person having jaundice, Prabhupada gives example, and we also, doctors, understand that when person is jaundice, he loses his natural taste. for food. He has a tongue. He can taste, but he has got disease, so the normal taste of food is not perceived by him. Although food is very tasty, very attractive, very lucrative, but he cannot get that taste. So what we do? We give him a regimen of regulations to follow. And then, after some time, the disease goes away and he revives his original taste condition of the tongue. So what is happening is, he is not putting something new from outside inside. He is just reviving what is within. He is just removing the covering that has come over the natural thing. And he is able to remove the covering which is false or which is disease. As soon as disease goes away, the original nature of the tongue comes out. And then you can taste everything differently. You can taste namkeen, you can taste salty, sweet, pungent, hot, not hot, everything sweet, everything can be experienced nicely with differentiation, with fine differentiation, so with less salt, more salt, everything you can define properly. Like you have coals covered with ash and you blow through the pipe, what happens? You remove the pipe, I remove the ash, and as soon as the ash cover goes, immediately fire comes up, comes out. Fire was already there, but fire was covered, appeared to be extinguished. As soon as you blow air, two things happen. The ash goes away and the fire gets enlivening. Fire gets enlivened. So this is the difference between sadhana and raganuga. It may take long time. Like we have patients of tuberculosis. Suppose we have two patients. Both have cough and cold. One has cough and cold with upper respiratory infection, throat infection. And one has cough cold because of tuberculosis, widespread in lungs. Both present with same kind of symptom. Some fever here and there, both of them have. But on investigation, you come to know that one person has got only upper respiratory infection, throat and some tonsils and some nose, like that. He will require medications for maximum 5 to 7 days. A course of 5 to 7 days with some precautions, regulations here and there. He'll be all right. And the tuberculosis patient is the next patient who comes after that, and doctor tells 18 months of treatment. So he may meet the patient who has come earlier and tell doctor, he has same symptoms like me, but you have given me 1.5 years and you have given him only 5 days treatment. Why don't you also give me 5 days treatment? And he says, no, your disease is deep. It will take so much time. So he has to be patient. If disease is superficial, then immediately you can get cured and revive your original nature. But disease is deep, widespread, then you have to wait for a long time patiently. Even it is said, I'll tell you, in tuberculosis, the fever, the cough cold may go away in 1 month. And the patient will be tempted to stop the treatment. But doctor tells him, no, keep taking minimum 9 months. And if I require, I'll tell you more. And patient says, my fever is gone, my cough cold is gone, I lost weight, I also gained weight, I feel normal, I feel healthy, I feel hungry, I lost my hunger, hunger has come back, I eat well, I sleep well, I do everything, I can play also now, I have energy also. Doctor says, no, you please continue your treatment for 12 months. So the apparent recovery is there, but disease is still there in the deeper roots. It has to be completely uprooted. And then doctor will tell, now you can stop. So similarly, you may feel, oh, after chanting Hare Krishna, I am so blissful. Now no more lust is disturbing me. No anger disturbs me. But in the course of time, you will come to know these deep-rooted enemies will come out and will disturb you. So you have to be patient. In Raganuga Bhakti, one has to be very patient. It is very lucrative and attractive to be on the Raganuga platform. But you can't artificially imitate Raganuga stage. You can't act in Raganuga. You have to effortfully behave in regulations, following regulations. Raganuga is spontaneous. It comes out naturally. You will not say, 6 months ho gaya, now I should have Raganuga. And on everything. On Ekadashi, I chanted 64 rounds. On Janmashtami, 108 rounds. Every day, every Ekadashi, I did Nirjala. every day 16 rounds. I did regular reading, I did service, I did everything. 6 months, I should have Raganuga. It doesn't happen like that. Because everybody's disease, Bhavarog, is different. The depth and spread of everyone's disease is different. That's why one has to wait patiently and keep following the same thing. Maybe for years after years, you'll keep following the same thing. Because when you do something for a long time, naturally you develop attraction. For example, I'll give you a worldly example. Like Prabhupada, he said, when I was about to get married, I didn't like my wife, she was not so beautiful. So Prabhupada's father said, it's good for you. You will not get attracted, entangled in family life. So suppose somebody's wife is not very beautiful, but they are getting married, for example. Whatever, practicality, compromise, whatever. But when you stay with the person for a long time, the person serves you and you serve the person, although the person is not so beautiful and attractive, you start developing affection and attachment. Is that true? You may not like somebody, but you stay in the hostel with that person for a long time and you don't like, really like that person. But after staying for a long time throughout the 5 years of your hostel career or engineering career, when you leave, you feel some pain while leaving. Oh, I stayed with you for 5 years. We shared the room. We shared some food sometimes. We did something together, even if we didn't like each other. So that association finally develops some attraction, some affection, right? So you may not like chanting, you may not like regulations, you may not like don't eat this, don't eat that, do this, do that. You don't like all these things because you like to be free. Do whatever you like. But when you follow some regulations, even those regulations, you start developing affection. After some time, even if somebody offers you grains on Ekadashi, you will not like to eat it. Because you have developed some attraction, some affection for that regulation. If you every day you wake up for Mangal Arati with force for 2 months, and then you are told, now you are free, you can sleep as long as you want. No, you will wake up at 3:45, and your mind tells you no sleep, but you will not be able to sleep, and you will on the bed keep hearing Mangal Arati sounds and everybody is dancing, so then finally you get up and you go and join them. Because of regularly following those regulations for a long time, with force, with determination, with whatever you can say, not willingly, but with determination, you develop some liking for that itself, what is not so much affectionate for you. Still have some affectionate for you. And if you continue like that only, then that same affection will develop into spontaneity. Then you will be very eager to do the same things what were forced upon you earlier. What they will say, if you have to stay in this ashram, in voice, in New Alipur, you have to get up for Mangal Arati. Otherwise, stay at home. So you didn't like it so much, but what to do? You had to stay and manage your show. So you joined. And then they were really watching you. You are getting up or not, you're doing seva or not, you're doing this or not, participating or not. And after some time, then you don't like to stay outside. Because you have started now liking the temple schedule, temple routine. And you feel very happy and blissful in doing what is being ordained over here. So Raganuga is not a time-bound situation. Raganuga will come. Have patience, have faith, and keep following. And even after Raganuga comes, the devotee lovingly and willfully keeps following the regulations all the time. What is the proof? संख्या पूर्वक नाम गान नटी भी द गोस्वामीज दे वर प्योर डिवोटीज दे वर नॉट ऑन रागानुगा दे वर भाव एंड प्रेम लेवल वैदी भक्ति एंड रागानुगा भक्ति ओवर दे ऑलरेडी ऑन बियॉन्ड भाव भक्ति बट स्टिल एवरी डे दे वर संख्या पूर्वक नाम गान नटी भी एवरी दे वर चैंटिंग विथ फिक्स्ड नंबर ऑफ राउंड्स फिक्स्ड नंबर ऑफ दंडवत्स fixed Govardhan Parikrama, Sanatana Goswami. It looked like it's not necessary for them, but still they were doing it for two reasons. One is that they were setting example for everybody else to follow. Because they are on Raganuga, they are on Prem Bhakti level, but everybody else who is watching them, who is inspired by them, is not on that level. So if they start following regulations, then the followers also will stop following regulations. they won't have any inspiration. So to keep the inspiration of the followers on, they did that. And second thing, regulations never remained regulations for them. They became source of joy and source of bliss. What was earlier by force put on them, now it is a very tasteful thing for them. So it is no more regulation. It is so joy. In fact, they were chanting maybe 64 rounds a day. Now they are happily chanting 108 rounds a day. There's nobody telling them, oh, 64th round, my God, for today I'm free now. Till tomorrow morning I'm free. I will fly like a bird in the sky after my 64 rounds. And again tomorrow I'll search my mala where it is and start chanting 64 rounds. It's not like that. In their stage, 64 was so blissful and they wanted to continue all the time in the world. So while doing service also they are chanting. While sleeping also they are chanting. That means why they are continuing Sankhya Purvakam? Because that regulation has not remained regulation. It has become a source of joy. So we should all pray, when that day will be mine, when my regulation of chanting 16 rounds will become source of my joy in life. And I will look for chanting more and more. When that day will be mine, kabe hobe se din amar, when I will get up and chant my rounds with great affection, great longing, like a lover longs for his lover. I will long for the holy name. When that day will be mine? That should be our prayer. And that is why we should read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because there we understand how these things happen, what needs to be done to have these things happen, what needs to be done to reach the stage of love, how they will manifest, what will manifest first, what will manifest later. If you know things, like in your engineering career, you know, na, what is going to be taught in first year, what exam will come, what is in second year, what exam will be there, what is in third year, what to expect, you know. Even in question paper, the pattern you know, questions you may not know, but you know what kind of examination will be there and how to prepare for it. And do you feel it is nice to know everything and accordingly prepare, or you want to just study randomly and give random examination? No, you want to know what things are there, you want to accordingly prepare and do well, right? That is our nature. So similarly, you have joined Bhakti, so better read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and know exactly what are the stages of devotion and how a sadhaka progresses from one stage to another, and at what stage what develops, and how to identify that, and who is Kanishtha Adhikari, who is Madhyama Adhikari, who is Uttama Adhikari. All things are there technically given, and you can very well understand, be fully cognizant while even being sadhana bhakti. You can be fully cognizant of what's up to and what is going to come in future, and accordingly associate and do things and have a plan and be focused on the path. What is important in achieving success in life? First and foremost is knowledge and vision of the goal. If you only have knowledge but the goal is not in your sight, still you can't reach. And you only have vision of the goal but don't have knowledge how to reach there, again there is useless. So to achieve success in anything, in your professional life or spiritual life, your goal should be clear in your mind. What are you here for? And how to reach there? All of you, yesterday I told, all of you who are now thinking of joining temple or becoming a devotee in itself, temple is another aspect, joining temple as a brahmachari or not or whatever. But basically, all of you have decided to become a devotee of the Lord. Is that true? You want to become devotee of the Lord. You have decided to become devotee of the Lord. You have decided to become serious to become devotee of the Lord. And now the path is laid down for you. But keep asking yourself again and again, why you are here? When there is some fight here, some discomfort here, some conflict over here, you feel like leaving, again, at the time revise why I came here in the first place. What was motivating me? Revisit your goal again and again. If you have come for some temporary attractions, you will leave. But if you have understood your goal, you have seen the goal in front of you, and you have full knowledge how to achieve the goal, Then all these conflicts here and there, discomfort, heat and cold, someday you did not get sweet rice, all these things will not matter. The management is bullying me, they eat all sweet rice and don't keep for me. This may happen. They may feel my temple commander is doing it personally for me, purposely for me. All these may, things may disturb you, or you may fall sick, or your parents may start bullying you to get you back, or they may start criticizing you, you're wasting your life, I've educated you, and you are now simply becoming a useless bum in temple doing ghanti. They may talk this language. You are uselessly wasting your time in playing the bell here. And just doing nothing, useless aspect. No respect, no position, no dignity. All these things may happen. But if your goal is clear and your understanding and knowledge of the goal is clear, you will not still leave. You will still be fixed on the path. Like Arjuna was fixed on his path. But there were so many distractions. Oh, I have to kill Karna in a very illegitimate way. Oh, I have to kill Bhishma. Oh, I have to kill my Guru Drona. I don't want to do that. And that could have practically, potentially taken him away from his duty of warfare. Is that right? He could have left the war. Ki, bhai, nahi, I cannot do it. 9 days are enough now. I can't kill Bhishma Dev. It's impossible. I leave the war. I retire. Do whatever you want. But even in such challenging situation, he got good knowledge, good counsel, and he reconciled, and he continued, although it was unpleasant and not easy for him. Tell me, what is easy in life? Nothing is easy in life. Is education easy? Your father and mother raised you to this stage, was it easy for them? To become a devotee is easy? To earn money is easy? For people outside, to get a beautiful life is easy. To maintain a wife at home is easy. To raise children is easy. Nothing is easy here. Everything is difficult. So why not accept one difficult aspect of life so I can reach Krishna at least. Otherwise all the difficult aspects I keep accepting what I get in my hand ultimately. Nothing. It's all useless waste of labor. So Arjuna's challenge also was very difficult. Each and every time he had different challenge. He was determined, he joined the war, still treading through the pathway of war was difficult every day. And every day he sought counsel from Krishna. Every day he heard from him, every day he put questions, every day he discussed and he executed. So finally, through all difficult situations, one after another, he went through and finally he was victorious. Last also there was difficulty, how to kill Duryodhana. So normal route we cannot kill him. Normal means with rules and regulations of the war. So Krishna said, kill him. Hit him in the wrong place and kill him. Bhima said, no, I don't want to kill. I cannot kill like that. No, I will. People will say that Bhima was less powerful, that's why he resorted to some illegitimate means to kill. I want to kill him with full rules and regulations. Then Krishna said, keep fighting till the eternity. Ladte raho. Nothing will happen. And Arjuna, then Bhima still had faith. No, I have faith in my power. I will still see how do I not kill this Duryodhan. I have defeated him n number of times. But Krishna is telling now he has been observed from top to bottom by his mother, who is a brahmacharini, sati, in the sense of pativratya, chastity. She had gained so much of power, she opened her eyes and saw him, and his body has become Vajra. Before it was not Vajra when you were defeating him again and again. Now it is Vajra, it is different. And you may have still faith in your power and may be proud of your power, but you will keep fighting with him eternally till life ends and you will not be able to defeat him. Then still he continued. And then he got exhausted in his patience and in his strength. And then he followed. So it was not easy to accept what Krishna told. It took time. It had to go through experience, get convinced, and then follow what Krishna told. He could have followed in the beginning only, but he didn't follow. He didn't choose to follow. So even last moment there was a problem. Even after Duryodhana was smashed down, another problem came. Ashwatthama killed 5 children of Draupadi. Another problem. Ashwatthama sent Brahmastra to Parikshit in the womb of Uttara. You see, Even path of pure bhakti is not just like path of roses, you know. You have to be determined. So my request to all the devotees is that don't give up. First of all, make your foundation firm. And foundation can be made firm with knowledge. The knowledge is available in association of sincere devotees. Make the foundation firm, then your building of devotion will never fall with some onslaught of examination or some challenges in the future. As you are in first standard, second standard, what kind of exam is given to you? Very simple. How much is 1 plus 1? Then you write 2. How much is 4 plus 3? Answer is 7. But when you go to 8th and 9th, algebra and geometry comes. And that is there. Then SSC, then 12th, then IIT entrance, then so many things are there. Then integration and trigonometry and higher integration, so many things come. Like physics, chemistry, complicated laws come. So as we grow, do the test become easier or become difficult? Yes? They're more difficult. So don't worry. If you are aware of that, then you can face it nicely. If you are aware, then you are prepared what to expect. You're not shot by some unexpected event as your test. So this is the time for making the foundation strong. So that once your foundation is made, you know, when we are now constructing new building in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, the building has to be 12 floors. So what do we start with? And how do we go? We go underground. We are now almost 3 floors underground. Because 2 floors is basement. And the basement has to stand on something, na? So there is further down the base foundation is there. The first is foremost is very strong, concrete, fully supervised construction of foundation, and there is shore piling, not to fall, the land should not fall after you dig the hole, the adjacent land should not fall, so you do shore piling, concrete shore piling, to prevent the land from falling. Are you, anybody of civil is there, anybody? Anybody civil engineer here? May not be, fine, this is general. And then you build the strongest possible concrete foundation, and then basement, and then you come one fine day after 1 year on ground floor, and after that the building starts growing. But after the building starts growing, what do you see in the building? You only see from ground floor to the 9th floor, 12th floor. Do you ever see foundation after that? That's how the foundation is. Foundation is never going to be seen in future, but foundation is there, and foundation matters. If it was weak, now there is no time to strengthen the foundation. Already building is done. If it is weak, it will remain weak. But that is true in the material science of construction of building. But in spiritual science, it is still possible. You come back to your basics and strengthen your basic. Chanting Hare Krishna attentively, getting up in the morning, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, fasting on Ekadashi, eating only offered food, at any cost, never eat any unoffered food outside, even by mistake, like yesterday. We have to be cognizant. Is it offered? Although it appears nice fruits, well arranged, well cut, very systematically clean. Ask, is it offered? There is no harm. Answer may you get yes. But if the answer is no, get it offered. So go back to basics, A, B, C, D. Remember our cricketer, Sachin Tendulkar, you know, when big batsmen, high scorers, suddenly stop scoring. When they consult him, he will tell, start from the stance, how you stand. How you take the stance on the crease. Start from that. It's like sometimes very insulting for a big cricketer to start taking the stance again and learn how to distance your feet and hold the bat in hand. But the principle is always go to basics. If something is wrong in spiritual life, look into basics. Is my A, B, C, D intact? Am I having enough association? Am I reading enough books? This required number of time I am spending in reading books. Am I chanting attentively enough sufficiently? Am I taking prasadam with strict regulation of not eating outside and eating only offered food to Krishna? Am I eating from the food from cooked from devotees? How do doctor diagnoses the disease? This is the only way he diagnoses, going to the basics. We'll first check the CBC, blood counts. Then he'll check the sugar. Then he'll take the creatinine level of the kidney. Basic, fundamental tests he will do first before doing hi-fi test costing thousands of rupees, right? So like that, when you fall short of your devotional performance, you go to basics. Don't find out, I did not read 10th canto 59th chapter, that's why I'm falling down now. No. Go back to the chanting and ask yourself whether I'm chanting attentively or not, whether I'm getting up or not, whether I'm getting enough nourishment with the satsang of devotees or not. Always go back to basics. Strengthen the foundation. Don't hit the highest things. Oh, that I didn't understand, that's why I'm not advancing. Even if you remain in foundation level, in bhakti, not in the building, but in bhakti, you can still reach Krishna. There's no problem about that. But once your foundation is strong, your ABCD is strong, then Sri Krishna will take you up on his own. You have proven Krishna, okay, I love you by following your regulation. I have not developed taste for you, attraction for you, but I am convinced that I should achieve you. So then Krishna will guide you and Krishna will take you through all the situations of life. What did Arjuna go through? He held Krishna's hand and Krishna got him through. He had faith and he submitted himself and he followed. So that is basic. To hold the hands of devotees in sincere association is the basic. To chant Hare Krishna in the company of devotees is the basic. To never eat outside food, however attractive it is, to eat only prasadam, however simple it is the basic. To put water to tulsi is basic. To worship deity is basic. To visit holy places regularly is a basic. To have no ulterior motivation is a basic. And to remain sincere and perseverant on the path of bhakti steadily is a basic. You may not know all the things that Rupa Goswami explained in Laghu Bhagavatamrita and into Lalita Vadhava and Vidagdha Madhava. Not necessary. You can still go back to Godhead. But don't give up basic. Don't compromise basic. And you can read Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, provided you are strong in your basics. Practically, not theoretically. Then Raganuga is not far away from you. Hare Krishna. Now you can ask some other questions.